Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Reyna Retirement. Reyna Reyes has dedicated her career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. Reyna Retirement is all about breaking down complex financial concepts into language you can actually understand. Now, here's the co-founder of American Federal Benefits Consultants, Reyna Reyes.
All right, we've all seen the show, Love and Marriage. So when you're married, you have to make some decisions, right? You're married and you're a FERS employee, you're a civil service employee, or you're Twinkies and you're both, right? Both FERS, both civil service, whatever. And that's agency non-specific. That is the FERS retirement program. And you know my little definition of Twinkies. That's when you've got two spouses that are married and they're both in some type of FERS or civil service program. So the question is, to leave a survivor benefit or not, or to leave a partial survivor benefit. So let's first define what it is. Note the word survivor, and that means somebody has done what? Passed away. So I have survived the spouse, and I am going to get a benefit. So it's a benefit the survivor can get in terms of A, money, monthly income, as a portion of the deceased pension, and B, health insurance. They are connected, okay? So let's dig into this and kind of do some definitions. You've got three choices, FERS and civil service. You have all the choices. You got all the options, and you can make your decisions accordingly. So civil service, let's start with y'all, sirs. You are able to make a choice on whether or not you're going to leave a survivor benefit at all, and if you do, you can leave anywhere from nothing up to 55% of what your pension is. So pretend my pension, civil service, an average civil service pension is say $4,500, right? So I'm gonna get $4,500 a month forever. But if I pass away, my spouse is gonna get $2,475 a month for the rest of their life because that is 55% of my $4,500. So that is the highest option. Or you can say, we can do the math backwards and you can say, I want my spouse to get exactly $1,000 a month forever. And then you leave it to Reyna to do all the nonsense math. Thank you for that. But my civil service employees are a retiring breed. And this is math we don't do very often because many of y'all either have retired or are very, very, very close to it. In fact, the longest running civil service employee I think we've seen is coming up is 65 years. 65 years of working in the federal government as a civil service employee. 65 years. High five. The person I'm referencing was in New Jersey, but there are many, I'm sure. If you know somebody with more than 65 years, I want to meet them. I want to talk to them. I want to shake their hand. Now, FERS, F-E-R-S, that is Federal Employee Retirement System employees, have three choices. Not 23, three. You can leave absolutely nothing, or you can leave half of your pension, or 25%. So let's go into an actual tangible example of that. So let's say my monthly income is $2,000 a month, my FERS pension, which is a pretty very common one if your income is anything under, say, $90,000, right? If that's a kind of a standard. So not anything under, but somewhere between $60,000 and $90,000, right? But let's pretend $2,000 a month. I can talk to my spouse or I'll talk to your spouse and say, hey, listen, if something happens and you're a survivor of this pension, my series of questions is beyond this dollar amount. It's not even that tangible. It's very conceptual. Hey, if your spouse passes away, do you need money, health insurance, both, or neither? Money, health insurance, both, or neither. If the answer is both, let's look to the top option. $200 a month costs me 10% out of my pension to give you half of my pension for the rest of your life. So let's say it's the second option. I don't need both. I just need the health insurance. Money, health insurance, I just need the health insurance. Well, then I go to the second option. $100 a month, it costs me 5% out of my pension to leave you 25% of my pension forever. Either way, Either way, you keep the health insurance if I pass away. If the answer is neither, then I do the bottom option. No spend money. No spend no money. Me no spend no money. I ain't gonna spend nothing. It costs me nothing out of my pension, so I get all my $2,000. And if I pass away, you don't get any health insurance. But maybe you don't care about health insurance. Why would somebody say I don't need health insurance? Maybe you're already on Medicare, have no need for this other stuff. Maybe you have a magical pension from your own work history and your job allowed you to keep your health insurance. And maybe it's very inexpensive, comparable to what I have. Well, then you don't need my coverage. So lots of reasons. So we have to remember the health insurance is directly tied to these options. So how can I keep health insurance? I have to have had it for 5 years before retirement. Me, not you. Like if you're my spouse, you can pop on and pop off of my health insurance every open enrollment. But I'm the anchor. I'm the hinge. I'm the pivot. I'm making it happen for you. You better be appreciative. No, I'm just kidding. But 5 years in succession in order to keep that health insurance when we retire. And how can I make sure that you get to keep the money? Only if I left a survivor benefit. But there's a big confusion on this because people go around telling other employees, which is that's the water cooler specialist or the coffee pot specialist, where they're telling you at the water cooler how smart they are. And they're their self-designated benefit person for your team. And their intentions are commonly good, but we also know what road is paved with those. So many people are coming to me saying, but my such and such in my office said that in order for my spouse to keep health insurance the day after I retire, I have to have a survivor benefit listed. No, absolutely not. While you're living, they'll stay on your health insurance as long as you are there, regardless of a survivor benefit. Note the word survivor. That means I survived. You survived me. Somebody died. And you have to keep, and you want to keep the health insurance. Only then does it matter whether or not a survivor benefit was left to you as a spouse to ensure your ability to keep the health insurance into perpetuity, into your lifetime, for your whole life. So going back to these numbers, remember, there's a teeter-totter in our world of put survivor benefit on one side, life insurance on the other. Because remember, you got Fegley too. And I got a umpteen zillion videos on that. I can do umpteen zillion more if you like. But we want to remember the two sides. This $1,000 a month that my spouse is going to get if I die, if I leave them the full survivor benefit, do I pay tax or do they pay tax on that? Absolutely. How do they get it? Monthly. So if they live 21 months or 2100 months, that determines how much money they're going to get from this benefit. So first of all, taxable. Second of all, monthly. Third of all, what if the spouse dies after I do? Who gets the money then? Nobody. This is not a third level beneficiary program. This is a to the spouse and that's all she wrote. The only non-spouse beneficiary that can receive this survivor benefit after the spouse passes away continuously is a disabled child. Like if you had a disabled child, everybody knows about it. It's there. There's a defaulted sort of survivor benefit so the disabled child can maintain that health insurance. But that's it. And obviously there's former spouse survivor benefits and insurable interest survivor benefits. Those are going to be a little bit of outliers. And commonly we're going to use those only in specific situations. But your most common one is a spouse. So remember the money. Now compare it to life insurance. Life insurance, how does it pay? Monthly? No. You get it all in one moment. It takes a couple of months, but you get it all in a lump sum. How is life insurance taxed? It's not. Remember, life insurance has long since been the tax shelter of the wealthy. And there's no tax on it. Uncle Sam can't touch it. Unless your estate is over X amount of millions of dollars, then you got a whole other issue we got to talk about. But life insurance, no tax. And then also, who gets the money if you die or if you both pass away from life insurance? Adult kids, whoever, brother, sister, niece, nephew, mom, dad, anybody that's listed as a beneficiary can receive that money if you both passed away. You can leave all kinds of beneficiaries. So it's definitely going to go to somebody. And those are some of the things we want to consider, because in the same way Social Security has this idea of a break-even concept, how many years at the bigger number do I need to live to make up for all the years of zero? So does a survivor benefit, right? The older my spouse is, the more they're going to care about life insurance over a survivor benefit. Because if I'm 70 and I'm going to get $1,000 a month, how long do I need to live to make the 80 grand or 150 grand that I would have had with life insurance? So again, this is not a one over the other, because the opposite side is if the spouse is 50, we care way more about a survivor benefit, because if the retiree passes away sooner than later, that survivor benefit just, or that survivor just by living is going to get way more than the life insurance, because when they live to be 90 something or 70 something from age 50 or 60, whenever the event happens, they can earn way more than life insurance because of that timeline. So this is all to say you've got choices. They're permanent. In most cases, they're going to stay there forever. This is why we want to have meetings. And in my experience, my preference is to have multiple meetings. First meeting is go over all the stuff, give you the good, bad, and ugly of the choices, and let you know what you're thinking about. Then we hang up. You talk with your honey bunches and you weigh the options and see what you do and don't care about. Then we talk again and you come back to me and say, hey, we think we're leaning toward this. What do you think? I say, I love it. Or did you consider blah? So if you haven't gotten scheduled with me or the team, now's the time for sure, 100%, to go over some of these options. See what makes sense for you, because as you're seeing, it gets a little complex, but there's only three options on either side, and we just want to pick the right one that makes sense for you. Happy decisions, happy working, happy retirement when we talk, and we'll make it right for you the first time.
Thanks for listening to Reyna Retirement. With a strong commitment to ethical standards, Reyna works hard to find the right solution for each individual or family who reaches out for advice. To contact Reyna directly, call 850-450-6500. That's 850-450-6500. Or to reach the team at American Federal Benefits Consultants, call 1-800-872-8857. That's 1-800-872-8857. You can also go online to AmericanFederal.org. Not affiliated with the United States government. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. The information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of their respective owners. American Federal Benefits Consultants is an independent organization, not a government agency or affiliated with the federal government or any state government. The terms CSRS, FERS, FEGLI, and FEHB are all registered trademarks of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. American Federal Benefits Consultants, agents, consultants, or any independent contractors do not provide tax, legal, or investment advice and do not engage in the solicitation or sale of securities. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations.